Hi, everybody, and welcome to the After Further Review podcast. I'm Pete Doherty, along with Eric Baranchek, and we're here to talk about the Green Bay Packers' playoff clinching 17-9 win over the Chicago Bears on Sunday. And Eric, was this the same coordinator and defensive players against Justin Fields as we saw against Tommy DeVito and Bryce Young a few weeks ago?
It's hard to say. No,
it couldn't have been the same guys, could it?
I can't explain it. All of a sudden, they started playing team defense, and inexplicably, they started having they're playing more man coverage, and they were when they're in zone. I mean, one of the things that we all complained about was 3rd and 6, and they got guys at 10, their heels at 10, and now. Last night it was 3rd and 7 and they had their heels at 3, you know, so it was a complete change around. And here's the part that I think we all noticed. They blitzed more in the first quarter than they probably blitzed in the first 6 games. You know, it was pretty impressive. The package that they came. Now, we didn't see much coming off the edge because they deployed some multiple receivers that weren't very close to the line of scrimmage. But I mean, they were sending 5, 6 pretty commonly, and it was it worked out well for them.
Yeah, it's kind of counterintuitive that when you play these really good running quarterbacks, you need to send extra rushers, not to sack him, but to close off the escape hatches, right?
Yeah, I mean, you run up the holes.
Yeah. So what's the key there? Because they kept this guy in the pocket. There was, you know, after I rewatched the game tape, there was, you know, a couple times where he got out. There was only one where he got out and made a really good pass. I think it was about a 27-yard pass downfield. It was in the fourth quarter. I think it was the fourth quarter to the tight end to Kmet. But otherwise, they kept the guy in the pocket. The read option didn't hurt him. What's the key to how they basically hemmed this guy in and corralled him and beat him?
Well, it's two things. A, your coverage has got to be pretty – it's got to be decent because you got to get him off his first read because, you know, so I watched his head. When I watched it, I watched the game again a third time. And when you watch his head, it was one read, maybe two reads, and then he's looking to get the heck out of there. And that's different from what you saw with Jordan Love. Jordan Love's if you just watch his head, you can see where he's looking, and you know that's what the secondary is looking at, and that you can kind of figure out the reads from there, right? Like, okay, I got 1, 2, 3. Typically, they have a third read, and then your fourth read is just get the ball out of there to the running back or a tight end over in the flat, just to get it out of there. And you know, he's a 1-2 read guy, and then he's looking to run in the key. So you got to play decent on the back end, but more importantly, to keep him in the pocket when he wants to run around is not to allow your outside guys on the line of scrimmage. So your outside linebackers, Preston Smith and Gary, they can't get deeper than the quarterback. You know, because if you do, that opens up a lane for them to sneak out, and you saw that. And then when you did see them blitz on many occasions, 7 or Quay Walker, he wasn't just firing up. He was firing up and locking on the old lineman and then watching. And that is so he's kind of a spy, I guess would be the way to put it. He's not the traditional spy who's just sitting at 3 yards and mirroring the quarterback. He's actually coming up forward, making it look like he's going to blitz, but he's still hanging around there looking for the ball rather than just coming, you know, full tilt for the quarterback. So that's basically it. You got to box them in. So you got to have your two outside guys, whether it be an outside linebacker, or if you're going to bring a safety and bring him off the edge or Quay Walker off the edge, that's how to box them in. And then your inside guys got to get a little bit of pressure too. And they were able to do that all night long. And you know, when they really looked good when they sent 5 because it made him nervous and made him have to throw the ball not as accurately and certainly wasn't very effective.
So who are the two outside rushers that Eric Baranchek has been most critical of this season for getting too far upfield, and then the tackles just push them around the quarterback, and as you say, that escape hatch is there. And also read option crashing down the line. Who have been two most?
If you listen to anyone who's listening to this podcast, would be they're in their car or they're sitting here saying exactly Kingsley Ngambari and Rashawn Gary. And what I thought was really funny, and I remember at the game last, I gave you the elbow, was that Rashawn Gary just about did it, and he comes flying upfield. He put on the brakes and actually lost it and fell on his back and ended up getting in on the play. But that, to me, was, all right, now I know exactly what their game plan is after I saw that. And they did it well. They did not give it up. So you heard them talk. I think you had said after the Giants game, after DeVito went bananas, that I believe it was Kenny Clark said they talked about it at halftime, but they did it really good against Mahomes, and they must have drove it home this week, because this was really good the way they just kept him hemmed in there, and they didn't get deeper than the quarterback. And that's the key when you're doing this, when you got a guy that can get upfield and hurt you really bad. That was it. You was know, very good.
It's funny because when we talked about this, I asked you, so how does this happen where, you know, against DeVito and Young, they're so bad at it and they're so good at this one? And it kind of dawned on me as I was watching the film, it just kind of hit me. You know, DeVito had been sacked like in the previous four games before the Packers, it was like 25 times. It was some outrageous number, like six times a game. And I think I'd have to go back and look. I think Young might have led the league in being sacked. So I wonder if these guys just – their eyes lit up and they just went into those games thinking, we're going to be able to sack this guy like crazy. And they didn't realize that the reason those guys were getting sacked was because teams were holding the rush lanes, not because they were rushing like madmen. I don't know. I don't know if you think that's a
possibility. I think that's totally true. You just pin your ears back and you want to get stats. It's all about if you're a D lineman, you want to get paid, you put sacks on your chart. And the more sacks you get, the more you get paid. And that's exactly what they were doing. There's no question about it.
So can they do this against Dak Prescott? I mean, of course they can. They did it here. Will it work against Dak Prescott? He's a much better passer than Fields is. I know Prescott does a lot of his damage outside the pocket, but I'm sure he's a better pocket passer than Justin Fields too. You think it'll work nearly as well against this guy?
Well, they're going to have to because Prescott's pretty good on the run too. He's proven that he was going to throw the ball on the run. He's also going to run. So they're going to need to do the same thing they did with Mahomes and the same thing they did much better last night was to hem him in and let him beat him with his arm. And we'll see what happens. You know, that's the scary part about it is they got CD Lamb, and it can get a little scary out there with what they got with the receivers. But if they can do it and frustrate him and make Prescott beat him with his arm, I they got a fighting chance.
So the defense came through. Fields runs for 27 yards. The read options didn't work either. He had one for 6 yards where Van Esch, I think, was supposed to crash down the line, and Campbell was supposed to replace him on the edge. But even on that one, and Campbell got blocked, even on that one, he only picked up 6 yards. Let's flip over to the other side of the ball. One sack, it was a coverage sack. Love held the ball. Running game, run blocking really good. Darren Jones, third straight game over 100 yards. What's the O-line's played better? When we've gotten into that a little bit in our podcast and in the column. What are some of the keys of that? And I know obviously it's the linemen, but Tucker Kraft kind of jumped off the tape to you this week too, didn't he?
Yeah, well, early in the season, like, you know, the first 6 weeks, I mean, those guys had a hard time blocking themselves out of a wet paper bag. I mean, they would come up and they I remember the words that I used very, very vividly, that they were at least willing to try to attempt a block, whereas some tight ends in the past, or some tight ends that are playing the league, aren't even willing to do that. They just kind of run that way and maybe give a guy a shoulder. At least they showed that they were willing or trying to give some effort may not have looked very good at times, but it seems like all you got to do sometimes is just get that one block, and then the light bulb goes on. Like, you know what? I can do this. I just got to be physical and get in the way. And, you know, so last week you saw, I thought it was pretty awesome. I was watching the game with family, and I started hooting and hollering because Tucker Kraft put Danielle Hunter on his back. And, you know, so this week he's got another pretty good guy in Sweat over there. They're a defensive end, and they definitely were able to handle him. And that one time on a power, excuse me, he buried him. And then when they did the split zones, they were really good. And even Sims, I mean, there's a reason why DeGuara is not on the field. It's because he's just not an effective blocker. Not like those, not like the two guys that are there now. Now Musgrave coming back and another year under his belt, he might be pretty serviceable. We got to see that. It hasn't been great this year, but I think it might get better, you know, with another year and understanding how the NFL players play, because it's different. You know, they're a little bit more wild and take more chances than they do in the college game. But a couple things. So Tom has, you know, always concerned me that, you know, when I think right tackle, I think a big giant man, you know, or a left tackle the same way, like Chad Clifton, just big, burly, strong men. Taujer wasn't, I don't know. He was definitely burly, but he certainly just had really good feet and was able to move his feet faster and turn his hips. But I was concerned with Tom and how he was going to handle it. And he did. He's been, you know, week in, week out, he is very consistent and very capable of doing what he needs to do in the run game. But the addition of the line of the tight ends blocking is night and day. And all they need to do is give 33. He just needs a sliver. Just a sliver, because that split zone that they run, when he starts going one way and he's really good at it, it seems like when it goes to his right. So they motion, he's, you know, his initial track is to the left, cuts it back to the right side, and, you know, all he needs is a sliver to get through there. And in the past, through the season, you saw that defense, TJ Watt would be one. That comes off my mind of seeing him going down, number 90 going down and chasing stuff down from the backside. When those guys are getting blocked the way they are now, you can get those yards. And you saw the yards. They're 12-yard runs, 15-yard runs. I mean, the guy had a 6-yard average. You can't do that without someone getting stuff done up front. So as much as we talked about the wide receivers developing, the offensive line has also developed. The guard-center-guard combination there, that's really important in the run game, that those guys get off the ball and get positive yardage upfield. And when I watched the game last night, pretty much every play was positive off the line of scrimmage. And I think, you know, Dallas isn't, you know, when you think of Dallas, you think of sack guys that are, you know, they get upfield a lot. With a good blocking tight end, you can make those guys pay, especially like Parsons. You got, if he's going to line up on the edge and he wants to come screaming upfield, go for it. And then run the tight end right in his chest. You know, so there's things that is happening now that wasn't happening as early in the season. I was asked earlier today, you know, what's the difference between in the play calling? It seems like the beginning of the year could get plays to work. Is it the play calling? Are they doing something different calling plays? And my short answer was no, the blocking is working. They're able to do things and get positive movement on the line of scrimmage, which allows the running backs to get, you know, if they're not getting touched till they're plus three or plus, you know, plus two or plus three, that's great. That's an automatic 6-yard run. When they have to dance around back there and shake stuff off at the line of scrimmage or at, you know, minus a yard or two, then it really hurts and it's tough to even get back to the line of scrimmage. So there's not enough credit, I don't believe, given to that offensive line and the way they've developed over the season in tangent with the wide receiver group.
You know, I wondered, you and I talked about this just off air a bunch of times during the, you know, in the first half of the season, if Luke Butkus, the offensive line coach, if his job was going to be in jeopardy by the end of the season. But I'd say pretty much that ain't happening, but, you know, because of the way the line has improved. You do wonder if Stanovich is taking on more of a role in this or if it's just it took him half a season to, you know, to figure out what they're doing. I don't know. What do you think?
I agree with you because, you know, I had questioned several times, how come Stanovich was the O-line coach that it seemed like they could plug in guys? I mean, heck, they had, was it Newhouse? Newman, excuse me. I always call him Newhouse. I'm sorry, but yeah, Newman. They had him starting for almost the whole season, and it didn't look as bad as this look as it looked earlier in this season. And so, I don't think it was just – and it wasn't just personnel because Elgton Jenkins was out for an extended period of time, and they're still able to get it moving. And then all of a sudden, you switch up O-line coaches, and they can't even block together. You know, there was times in the season where – you know, guys were, you know, they had they had line calls where they're shifting the line one way and guys are going in two different directions. And it just didn't make sense. There were times you scratch your head going, like, it doesn't make sense why you leave the end man on the line of scrimmage unblocked on a five-step drop. It doesn't make any sense. So looking at it from that perspective, you know, it looks like they kind of like just got stuff together and made it happen. And finally, you know, I don't know if it was a confidence thing or if they just buckled down or if Stanovich, you know, gave them, you know, more time at practice. I don't know what the answer is there on that, but it's definitely night and day, though, from, you know, the first six games to where they are right now.
So let's pull back a little bit and go bigger, bigger picture. You know, before the season, I predicted 7-10. I can't remember what you thought or what you said. But they're here. This team's in the playoffs. I don't know. What do you make of it? I would have given the odds fairly low, like, I don't know, 10% chance, something like that before the season.
I figured they were not a playoff team, but there's zero chance. I was 8-9. You know, 9-8 if everything fell right and they weren't going to get in the playoffs. Now, I was expecting Minnesota to be a little better, that they would have just completely shut the door on them. But, and I didn't expect a KC win whatsoever. So, you know, looking at it from that point of view, I think they're ahead of schedule. I think they have what they wanted to have with those skill players are taking over and learning the game much faster than I thought they were going to be. I knew that at the end of the season, just watching one preseason game and watching one practice, it jumps out at you the level of athleticism at that position. They have not had a group of wide receivers in a long time, going back probably to, you know, 2010, 2012, where they had wide receivers that as a group were that talented. And they just needed to get the mental game figured out. And it's a really hard position to play mentally coming out of college. It's not the same. Coverages get disguised. Your expectations to understand where safeties are and where blitzes are going to be and having hot reads and all of those kind of things are just a lot different than at the college game. But you can see the way they can run, they can jump. You know, you look now, you know, I can't remember the last time that we really harped on wide receivers dropping the balls. I mean, other than Melton's drop in the end zone there, and that would have been a tough catch anyway, but there really wasn't much, you know. So, you know, I did not expect this. In fact, I expected the defense to play better than what they have, but not to come back the last couple of weeks and put the performance up like they did against the Vikings and then last night against the Bears. That just was not on the radar for me personally. So I think it's great for these guys to have the opportunity. Now it's going to be tough sledding going down to Dallas and beating them in Dallas with a football team that, you know, they haven't won a whole lot of the big games really. I mean, they've, you know, they got Philly at the end and, they're falling apart, and it, to me, you know, I think there's some reason for hope, and there's some reason to think that these guys can at least make it a really close game. I don't expect them to win, but I'm not shutting the door and saying there's no possibility they can win.
So Jordan Love, what do you think of this dude? He, I thought a good year would have been just if he showed that he had a chance by the end of the season that he had a chance to be the guy. Didn't even have to show that he definitely was, but just that he had a chance. I mean, there's no question on this guy now, right? I mean, he's their quarterback going forward, and I don't know what's the ceiling here.
Oh, I don't know if he's hit it. He still has some things to work out. I mean, recently since Pittsburgh, he's been really good. So it seemed like the lights kind of went on during Pittsburgh, and they should have during that game. And he probably, that was a game I thought that they could have won. They didn't, of course. But I mean, the reality is when I'm looking at him, I mean, he just looks like when you draw a picture of a quarterback, that's him, right? Tall, broad shoulders, long arms. He's got some speed. He's got some mobility. Not someone that's going to tuck it and run, like Lamar Jackson. That's not a quarterback that I think is in many cases, the longevity of those guys generally is not very long, because once they start getting injured and lose their wheels, now a big part of their game that they relied on is gone. But you saw this guy throw the part that I guess we didn't see, at least I didn't, was be able to throw the arm angles and not get flustered right away when the first or second read isn't there. Probably has to throw the ball away a little bit more on occasion and get rid of it out of his hands, which is not what I expected, because sometimes I was like, just run it. But, he's a quarterback, and he's not a running quarterback. Can he run? Yes, but he's not a running quarterback and will stay there and roam around and throw the ball rather than run it. So to me, do I think he determined with his play that he is definitely the guy of the future. And I guess the other part too that really kind of sticks out is you never see him throwing his helmet. Or here's a great example. Last year, primarily the same group of receivers, it's not all the young guys, but with that young group that they had out there last year, you saw Aaron Rodgers get flustered and visibly lose his stuff. Where this guy, if the guys went to the right, he just, okay. Maybe he was mad and inside he was furious, but he never showed it. And I think that poise and that ability to handle his emotions, I think, especially being a young quarterback, was really impressive to me. Probably the second most impressive thing for me as the season went along is you saw him be able to decipher the defense and make more than one read. And that's the hardest thing in college, or especially in high school, when these guys are coming up. They usually have one read or two reads, and that's it. But you see him making one, two, three reads and then dumping it off to his outlet guy. So that's impressive, because there's no way of knowing how well a guy can process information until he's got it. Because there are hundreds of guys that can throw the football. Don't let that fool anybody. There are a lot of guys that can throw the football. But the challenge is, and you see why a lot of these quarterbacks flame out, is they need to – you can't test – I don't know there's any test that you can give a guy at the college level or coming out that can determine if they can process information and not only that, react to it as quickly as an NFL quarterback needs to be. And that's the difference between the good ones and the guys that are just throwers of the football. Jeff George, that guy can throw the football better than anyone around, but son of a gun, you give him two reads and he loses it.
There is no test. That one group thinks they have that test and they gave it to that guy. They gave it to a lot of the quarterbacks take it. And the guy down in Houston supposedly bombed on it. And he's the best quarterback coming out of the draft as a rookie in I don't know how many years. So yeah, right. There is no test. They got to play.
Yeah. You got to see what happens when there's live fire and to be able to control your emotions. And a lot of people don't understand this. And I just, I have this conversation routinely. You got 15 seconds, really. You get out of the huddle, and if you got 15 seconds, you got to understand what the defense is. You got to make an adjustment with your line calls. And, by the way, if they move and they show a blitz somewhere else, now you got to adjust the line too. And you got to be able to know when to break off patterns and where guys, you know, understand where your hot reads are going to be, because it might be totally different than when it comes out of the huddle. And you got to say hut hut in 15 seconds. And that's a big challenge. That's a lot of thinking that's got to take place in a very short, condensed period of time. Oh, by the way, throw a couple 280-pounders that are coming at you too. So all of that stuff, you have to be able to decipher that data that quickly and make split-second decisions, because a split second in the NFL is a difference between a touchdown and an INT.
You know, it's funny. There's still I still think there are I don't think this is controversial. I mean, there are real footwork issues still with Love too. I mean, that touchdown pass, that first touchdown pass, it was a thing of beauty. And he put it in a tight window and snuck it right in there. But he was falling backwards, and he didn't need to on that throw. I just, you know, things like that will eventually catch up to him, I think. But that footwork stuff is something that guys can improve on. So, I mean, I have to assume that's going to be the project for the offseason, right, is to just get him to, as often as possible, default setting is good footwork and only fall back when you have to.
Right. And some of that is, you know, some of that you gotta take with a grain of salt. You know, I don't remember seeing him, and maybe you did, but I don't think he was on the injury report this year at all. How many teams can say their quarterback was never on the injury report? Very few. So we stand back here and we say, yeah, you know, your footwork's got to be better here, got to be better there. But there's something to be said about having the arm arrogance and the arm strength to be able to make a throw when you're having really bad mechanics with your feet. So there's times where, you know, because I looked at that play a couple times today, and man, you know, that ball could have, it was floating, and that ball could have easily been picked off. You know, you could see it happen. That was one of the things, as the ball was in the air. I remember being there last night and seeing that ball in the air going, oh, that's a pick. And it wasn't. But, yeah, you can see, you know, where that issue is. But, you know, and all in all, yes, the footwork can improve, because there are some times where I think he feels some ghosts that aren't there when he's back getting ready to pass. But I still think the intangibles that you really – how do you measure it? His ability to process data that quickly and be confident with his throws. I think a lot of it is just his maturity, and they didn't throw him out there as a rookie and getting, you know, the bad part about being a high drafted quarterback is you're going to a really bad team most likely. And you're going to have, you know, guys falling all over you. You're probably, your offensive line probably isn't very good. And so now, you know, a lot of those guys, they never get a chance to get to their third read because they're going to be laying on their back. Or on the injury list. So, you know, footwork is, it certainly can be better at times, but I think sometimes you got to be able to say, you know what, he's not on the injury report. He's winning ball games. Let's make incremental improvements. That's what we talked about all season long, was we wanted to see incremental improvements. And I would say just about every week you saw something that made you say, that's better than it was last week. And, you know, couple that all up with the poise, and I think he's a quick learner. So, you know, carrying the football like a loaf of bread, like he did last night, that probably won't happen again. At least you hope not. Make a little bit better decision, and let's get out of bounds, or let's slide. Let's do, you know, there's a lot of different things that could have happened there. But I you gotta like what you're seeing right now. I mean, there's not any instance. I mean, he's number two in the league with touchdowns. What's floored me this morning when I looked at that numbers. It's hard to believe that they're able to do that. And, you know, the only thing that I can attribute it all to is probably the fact that he sat for, you know, 3 years.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly he improved. And it wasn't like he was horrible early in the season. I mean, you know, as you were one of the first to point out, the issues were as much that the receivers as it was him for, you know, the struggles they were having moving the ball in the first half of the season. I didn't ask you this when we talked, so this is kind of spur of the moment where you got to come up with something. But I don't know, you got a prediction for the playoff game Sunday?
I'm glad you asked that. I think it's going to be closer than what a lot of people think. I think this team reminds me a little bit of, oh, I'm going to going to get some arrows for this one, but it reminds me a little bit of the 2010 team. They go down. There's no way in heck they were going to go to Atlanta and win, right? And they did it, you know. And then they went to Philly, and then they went to Chicago, and they went to the Super Bowl. So I don't know that they are as talented as they were in some of the spots as they were that team. But you see some of the things happening. And when you're looking in the league, you know, and this is probably ad nauseum to you, but the first 4 weeks, in my opinion, are just preseason. You know, come out of that thing 2-2 and let's get going. And the teams that are peaking right now are not always don't always have the best record. It's they've figured it out what works for them and what works for their personnel at the time, and injuries and all those things. And to me, I think this football team is peaking. And can they go down to Dallas and win? I think they can. Do I think they're going to win? No, I don't. I think they're going to lose. I think it's going to be a tight game, and it's going to be one of those, you know, like when the Packers went to Arizona and that playoff run there where they had. And I think they just need to get into that game and feel what that playoff football is like with the crowd. Going on the road is even better. Because they're gonna feel it all, and you know, emotion is a big part of the football game that people always kind of leave off the table, but it's really important, and it's gonna be important for them to have this experience. And a lot of that, I mean, most of those guys are coming back, especially on the offensive side of the ball. They need to experience this, and they need to go down there. And if they get it handed to them, I don't think that's the end of the world. I think that's great. It's part of the process of getting incrementally better. And I just feel like Dallas has got a lot more veteran players. They're not saying they're hungrier, but the lights are a little brighter. There's jobs on the line down there, that's for sure. And they need to make sure that, you know, I think they just need to make sure it's a close game just to feel good for it. You know, if they go down and lose a 33-30 or 27-30, I don't think you look back at the season and say it was a lost season. Not whatsoever. But I think if they can get the ball to bounce the right way, and if they can get a couple turnovers, I think they can pull it out. But that defense is going to have to come up and play the way they did the last 2 weeks against a better offensive line, against a much better MVP candidate in the quarterback. And some really deadly weapons that they have on the perimeter. That's really hard. That's a tough pill to swallow. They don't really have that thumping defense. You know, I give them a chance. You know, I don't give them a lot of hope, but I give them a chance. It's a big game, and it's certainly going to be fun to see how those young pups can handle the pressure.
Yeah, well, and you know, pressure's on the Cowboys on this. This is must win for them. I mean, if they lose, Mike McCarthy probably gets fired, and there's probably be some other changes too. But I'm thinking
good. Maybe there'll be a defensive coordinator that'll be needing a job. I know a spot up here where he could slide in and be pretty good.
That guy's pretty good. You know, I just don't think push comes to shove with the game on the line. I don't think the Packers defense is going to hold up against Prescott and Lamb and Pollard and all of that. I just don't think it'll hold up. So I think that'll end up being the difference. But you never know. A couple big plays, a couple turnovers, who knows?
Yeah, they're gonna need a break, a stupid pass interference. You know, Prescott putting the ball on the ground when he's scrambling, or an interception or two. I mean, that's the difference. But then you watch, you know, I go back and look at that Detroit and Dallas game, and dang nubbit, Detroit should have won that game. You know, Goff had a great game, and he played out of his mind. I thought he played really fantastic. And it's too bad that they lost that game. But I think that, you know, that's what gives you hope when you watch that game. And I watched it last Friday night or Saturday morning it was. And I thought, man, you know, it gives you some hope, but man, I don't know. I just think that the Cowboys got a lot more veterans there. They got a veteran quarterback that literally is in the MVP race. You know, if they win, he probably is going to be, you know, I don't think they got to get to the Super Bowl for him to win it, but, you know, I think there's the deck stacked against them, but, you know, hey, any given Sunday, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, I'm looking at the clock here. Time's run out on us, Eric, so we better wrap this up, but just want to thank everybody for downloading this. Glad you think we're worth the time and the time and the listen. And just want to remind you that we'll be back again next week with our film review of what will either be a Packers win and the continuation of a playoff run, or the end of the season and time to start thinking about 2024 regular season. But either way, there'll be a lot to talk about.
Yes, so, Joe, if you could whisper, so when you go over and visit those guys this week, whisper in Joe's ear to blitz 7 through the B gap all night long. That would be very helpful.
Yeah, and we'll get a chance to see the guy that you could kind of pattern. You might want to pattern the way you use Walker is make him a poor man's Micah Parsons. So we'll get a good long look at Parsons and see if he can. He's going to see if he'll be a game wrecker for the Cowboys. We'll have all that stuff to talk about next week. So until then, everybody, I just want to say thanks for joining us. And you've been listening to the After Further Review podcast. For Eric, I'm Pete. Take care, everybody.
Be good.